I've had times where I have distanced myself from God and I have gotten angry. And those are the most miserable times mm-hmm. that I remember through this whole blindness. And the times when I would turn back to him and just remember everything he's gotten me through. Mm. And I say to myself, you know, that the same God that got me through that can walk me through this.
Do you feel the tug or pull in your heart calling you to more? Do you feel like it is too late or that you're too broken to pursue the dream in your heart? Well, you've come to the right place. I'm Latasha, and welcome to the Overcome to Become podcast. Pull up a seat and join me each week for real talk, life-changing truths, and actionable takeaways. We are diving into any and everything that has been holding you back from becoming who you were meant to be in every area of your life. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit just about you. You've been a little busy lately with some great things. So tell us a little bit about what you've been busy with, what you've been up to.
Yeah. Well, as you heard, my name's Sarah Claudia, and I am from the West Georgia area, and I have been very, very busy. I just got married back in May, so I'm a newlywed.
Yay. Congrats.
Yes. And I just had my second book come out, and I just finished training with my guide dog. So that kept me pretty busy. And that's a little spoiler. Yes, I am completely blind.
Wow. Yes. So we want to jump right into, and we'll get some more information about Sarah's book in just a little bit, but I want to jump right into your story. In February 2015, mm-hmm. an event happened that shifted really your entire life and your journey. Can you share a little bit more with us about that?
Yes, I can. It was actually in May of 2015. And that month, I had just finished up my finals after my junior year of college. And I had my whole life ahead of me. I was getting ready to start my senior year. I was very active in my college and on the college equestrian team. So I rode horses and was nationally ranked on my equestrian team and was really excited to start my senior year of classes and my last year on the team. And before I could start moving forward with all those many plans I had one little thing to take care of first. And on May 5th of 2015, I had my tonsils taken out. I had struggled with chronic tonsillitis for all of my life. And I don't know what really spurred me at that point to just have them removed, but I did. I went in for the surgery, was discharged that afternoon, and went back to my parents' house to kind of recover. And my mom actually made the decision to sleep in my room with me that night, which was very, very unusual. You know, I was 20 years old. We didn't really have sleepovers that often, but something just told her to sleep with me that night. And that little decision is the reason I'm still here.
Wow.
She woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning and decided she would check on me since she was in the room with me. And she discovered me completely unresponsive.
Wow.
So I was kind of barely breathing, wouldn't wake up. They rushed me back to the hospital and I was put on a ventilator. And I was on the ventilator for about a day before they took the breathing tube out and wanted to see, you know, if I would breathe on my own. They didn't even know if I would breathe on my own, let alone wake up and be normal. So when I started to breathe on my own, it was a blessing and everybody was excited. And in their minds, that was the biggest hurdle that I was going to have to face. Mm-hmm. And if I was breathing and I was waking up, then everything would be fine. Mm-hmm. But as I began to kind of come to and started to talk a little bit, I told my dad, and my dad happens to be an eye doctor, and I told him that I couldn't see anything.
Wow.
Yes. And then I was rushed to a different hospital after that, to a bigger hospital, and they did more tests and scans. And it was at this hospital that they discovered that I had also lost hearing completely in my left ear.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So all of that happened. I mean, my life completely changed. Talk about a detour and a delay in, you know, 24, 48 hours. My life was completely falling apart.
Wow. Wow. And this was all due to the surgery that you had or the complications from that tonsil surgery?
Yeah, it was, it happened after the surgery. So it didn't occur when I was in the hospital. I was at home, but it happened right after, and I just stopped breathing. And, you know, it's, nobody's ever really told us exactly why that happened or why that occurred.
Wow. So then there you were, you went from about to start your senior year in college. Like you said, nationally ranked equestrian team, all of the things, looking forward to that. And now your life has shifted in a very major, major way. So tell us, what were your thoughts during that time of finding out that you were going to be blind, that you had lost your sight, your hearing, it was not going to come back, the full prognosis? What came to your mind?
Honestly, and I think it's a blessing that I don't ever really remember a moment where it kind of clicked. I was given so much medication and I was so out of it that it was kind of a slow understanding of it. My mom tells me that in the hospital, I would cry. And I don't remember any of this, but I would cry and just say, what am I going to do? How am I going to accomplish anything? How am I going to go back to school? And I just ask those questions because blindness is something that you don't encounter often with other people. And so when it happens to you, you just have no idea how you're going to handle it, how you're going to move forward. So there was a lot of questions.
So then from there, walk us through, you eventually come out of the hospital and into a new chapter, a new season. What were your greatest challenges physically and mentally, and maybe even emotionally that you faced walking into that new
chapter? I'll start with physically. I had all sorts of challenges just from that time in the hospital. And all the medication, all the steroids I was given, I went through a lot of treatments to try to bring my sight back. So physically, I was very weak. There were a lot of things going on from side effects from the medication. And I just wasn't myself. You know, I was a 20-year-old, very active person. And now all of a sudden I was sleeping all the time and everything hurt. It hurt to walk. It hurt to move. So that was a big challenge for me. I gained weight. I gained about 50 pounds. So much changed other than just not being able to see. Emotionally, I was a wreck pretty much. I lost touch with friends. It was very, very hard to connect with people. And I lost my independence. I think that was the biggest challenge of all. I couldn't drive myself anywhere anymore. At the beginning, I could hardly get around my childhood home by myself. It was hard to pick out clothes. I couldn't cook for myself. I mean, it was everything. I was having to relearn how to do it independently. And it was very, very frustrating, very challenging.
So then emotionally, I know that takes a toll on you. Yeah. What are the thoughts that are going through your mind? And even what are you thinking about? And tell us, if you can, what are your thoughts about God? And did the questions why come to mind? Yeah. What was going on in your mind?
I was very, very angry at the whole situation. At this point in my life, I was very lost spiritually. I was raised as a Christian, grew up going to Sunday school and youth group and all of that. But in my college years, had really lost that relationship with Christ. But I'm so thankful for that foundation that my parents raised me on, because I was able to fall back on that when I was faced with a situation where I didn't know how to move forward or what to do. I just fell back on prayer. And I definitely did have those questions of why, but I was never really angry with God. And there's a lot of, I think back to that time and there's a lot of questions I have, like, how did I ever get through that? Why wasn't I angry with God? And I think that in itself was a God thing. I turned to prayer, and at first I just prayed for God to heal me. That's the only thing I would say to him at night. I would say, God, just let me be able to see when I wake up. And through the disappointment of that not happening, that would be the place where a lot of people would have turned away from God and said, he's not listening. He's not there. And I always tell people, I don't know what kept me from getting to that point. I was very, very close many times.
Yeah.
There were times where I just wondered why this was happening to me. Mm-hmm. But all throughout those times, I just kept praying. And it was something that was so foreign to me. But the more I talked to God, the more comfortable I got. And the more I started to see him show up for me in a way I had never experienced, because I had never asked for it before.
And so you said he began to show up. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. I was in this situation where I was so frustrated with every little thing. It was hard when I dropped something on the ground, I couldn't find it. Just picking out my clothes, you know, brushing my teeth, everything was hard. And I didn't like admitting to other people how hard things were for me.
Yeah.
And so in that place where I was slowly starting to opening up to God in prayer, I found that he was the perfect outlet. He was the perfect listening ear, because he didn't try to come back with all the niceties of, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I know that must be so hard for you. You know, the things where people, they mean well, but it doesn't really help.
Yeah.
God just listens. And the way he responded to me was that he would help me just find that patience and that peace and that hope. And it was unlike anything else, especially in that situation where it was so easy for me to come unglued.
Mm-hmm.
I look back now and I think, how did I get through that? Well, it was God all along the way. There's no other explanation for it.
Wow. So tell us how important was community? I know you said that your mom was there, dad, and all of that, and you had some, and I know those who are listening, I'm guilty of it as well. When you're facing a hard situation or a hard season, just a tough time, I think human nature, one of the reactions is to clam up, to not want, like you said, not want to admit how hard it is. Especially, you know, I don't know about you, but I was raised, as my sister and I, we were raised to be very independent. You know, you're women, be able to do things for yourself, you know, don't ask for help. My dad was military. My mother is Asian. And so I think some of that was the culture and then how we were raised, just do things on your own. And so asking for help was always difficult for me coming up. And so I've had to come to terms with that. So with you, I noticed you had said the same thing, saying how things were hard for you or that you needed help. How and when did you finally say, you know what, I'm going to let people help me and I'm going to lean into that. And that doesn't make me weak and it doesn't make me frail, but it's the community that's around me that I need.
Yeah. Honestly, that's something I still struggle with, but it took building that relationship with God first and turning to him for help. And then him telling me, look, I've put all these people in your life to help you. And like I said, it's something I still struggle with. My husband would be the first to tell you, he's learned to not offer me help until I ask for it.
Okay. He's smart. He's already learned. That's quick. Yeah. That's quick.
It is, but it just took a lot of frustration and a lot of me kind of asking for help in the wrong way. You know, I would get frustrated and then have to ask for help and kind of take that out on my family. And they are so patient with me. I'm so thankful for them. But it was something really I had to get used to. And God was a big help in all of that.
Amen. Amen. So tell us, Sarah, why do you think it's so important? Because you could have kept this to yourself, right? You don't have to share your story. You don't have to share your struggles and, you know, use the gifts and things that God has given you even through this to help other women. Why is it so important for us to tell our story?
I think it's all about showing people God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to say I'm blessed with my blindness. It's not a blessing. It's a very hard thing. But I'm blessed in the sense that it is something people are very curious about. They're curious about how I do everyday things. And it opens up the door for me to say, I've gotten through this with God. So it's all about sharing my struggles. Yes, it could help somebody else who's also blind, but it helps anybody who's going through a struggle because they can see that God really can walk you through any dark situation, literal or figuratively. And it also reminds me of what God has done in my life. Every time I share, I'm standing up there and I'm speaking and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know how I got through that. It's all about God's faithfulness.
Isn't that something? God is just so good. I was telling a friend the other day, thinking about it, I was listening. I don't know if you heard the song by Maverick City Music, Miracles. I think it's called A Million Little Miracles.
Yes.
And I was listening to it. And then as I started thinking about it, like I became overwhelmed. I became weepy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, you really do think, you know, like you said, how did I go through that? How did I make it through? How did I not just throw in the towel? Like you said, and get angry and say, you know what? Forget you, God, forget this, forget everything else. I cannot do that. And it's for me, I don't know about you, if it's the same thing, but I feel like right when I was on the edge of being like, I'm done. I cannot take this anymore. This is not fair. Why me? Why do I have to go through this? Somebody over there doesn't look like they're suffering. Why am I suffering like this? You know, God would come in some loving way, whether it's through me walking outside and all of a sudden I would see the clouds shift in a certain way and I would feel God's presence. I feel him a lot in nature when I'm outside, or a certain song would come on the radio or something on the tell, or somebody would say something, somebody would send a text message and then I go, okay, you're so faithful.
Yes.
You're so faithful. And when you agree that God can handle our disappointments, he can handle, I think sometimes for me, I even keep it to myself when I'm just so frustrated. But God can handle those things and he wants us to share those things with him. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I will say, you know, it hasn't always been just rainbows and butterflies and this whole thing. I've had times where I have distanced myself from God and I have gotten angry. And those are the most miserable times that I remember through this whole blindness. And the time when I would turn back to him and just remember everything he's gotten me through. And I say to myself, you know, that the same God that got me through that can walk me through this.
Absolutely. 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 So how has your view of God changed or grown and shifted?
Oh my goodness. It has gone from something so far away feeling, you know, when I was raised as a Christian, like I said before, I never really took hold of that you could really have a personal relationship. I didn't really understand how you could have a close connection with something that you couldn't see. And it's ironic that it took me losing my sight for me to actually become close to him. But it's turned more from this kind of supernatural figure to close companion that I carry with me everywhere.
Wow. Oh, I love the way you said that. Yeah. A personal God.
Yes.
Personal God. Yeah. From this big, gigantic deity.
Yes.
Which he is. He is God. He's almighty. He's all power. He's all of those things. But I love how you said a close companion, a friend.
Yes.
Who's right there with you. And so your goal in your ministry is to help women face the trials of this world through their trust in the Lord. How can we tell us, Sarah, share with those who are listening, who are maybe right in the, maybe they're at the beginning, you know, like you were right coming out of the hospital, right at the beginning of facing this hard trial. I mean, goodness, this last year and a half, almost 2 years now of going through this pandemic, I think everyone in the whole wide world has felt this, along with your own personal things that you're dealing with. How can we resist the urge to run, to hide and fight those hard seasons? And how can we begin to lean in instead?
Oh, there are so many ways, but I would say the first thing I do when I feel like running away and just hiding from my problems is I just stop. I take away all the distractions. I try to quiet my mind, get myself in a quiet place, and just give it all over to God and just cry out to him. And sometimes all you need to do is just cry out his name, just say Jesus. And like you were saying, get in a place where you can truly feel his presence, whether that's in nature or just in a quiet place where you can pray and just talk to God, but then give him that time to talk back to you, where you're just listening to God. Because I think sometimes we think that prayer is a one-way conversation. And so we send up that prayer and then we keep going about our day and nothing ever gets resolved. We still feel that panicky, you know, feeling of running and hiding. And it's because we're not giving God time to talk to us.
That's good.
We need to just sit and listen and find that comfort and that guidance that He is so willing and able to give to us. And through that, I think you can become so connected with God that it's easy for you to trust Him with your problems because you feel His presence. You know He's there walking with you.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, when you said that, I was like, oh, I'm so guilty of that. I say my prayers. I'm like, okay, I've gotten it all out. Let's go. Let's get about our day. But yeah, actually sitting there and being intentional about sitting there and being quiet. I had a friend who said, you know, have you tried before you get up and put your feet on the floor, just lay there in the bed and say, Holy Spirit, what do you have to say to me today? God, what do you have to say to me today? What I'm open. I'm not sending up my requests. I'm not asking you anything. Just what do you have to say? And that's so powerful. I try to do that more now when I get up in the morning and do that because I'm a little bit of a talker. I don't know about you. one of the gifts, I guess you can call it. My parents didn't think it was a gift, but one of the gifts later in life. And so I can get to going. And then, like you said, it's a one-way conversation. But then I like how you said how the frustration's still there if you're not quiet and don't listen. So I love that. So if you could turn back time and talk to your younger self, what would you tell young Sarah?
Oh, man, I would really have to sit her down and knock some sense into her. Like I said, I was very, very lost spiritually. I was all about the world, you know, worldly relationships, worldly labels and statuses. And I would want to tell younger me that none of that stuff matters. You're not going to find true happiness and satisfaction from chasing after that friendship or that relationship that, you know, that person isn't going to give you what you're looking for. And you can only find that in the Lord.
So true. Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. So last words for the woman, what would you tell the woman who's in the middle of a season she did not expect? Things aren't going as planned. And I know you've experienced that and told us about it. She feels stuck. Maybe she's a little stuck and she's struggling to move forward. What would your last words be to her?
I would say that wherever you are, God can use that situation for His glory. So just turn it over to Him, trust Him, and follow where He leads, because wherever you end up, it is going to be far, far better than whatever you had planned.
Oh, yes. Amen to that. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's part of that letting go of those plans. I'm a little bit of a planner. Sounds like maybe you were too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Letting go of those nice, shiny plans that we put together and our well put together planners and all kinds of things, 10, 20, 30 year plan, letting God have that. So awesome, awesome words. So I like to wrap up with some rapid fire questions so that the listeners can get to know you a little more. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So tell us what song is currently on repeat.
Oh my goodness. I can't think of the name of it, but it's that song. I don't know. It's I'm Overwhelmed. I'm Overwhelmed by You. You know that song?
I don't know the name of it. No, I don't know the name of that one. I'll have to think of... No, I don't. Is it one that's like popular on the radio now?
Yes, or? Yes. And it comes from the place of being so overwhelmed by what God has done for me. And it's just been in repeat in my head. I haven't even played it. It's just been in repeat in my head.
I love that. Yes, I love that. I love that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can have those songs and I'll add a few words in there.
Yeah.
Own verses to the song. I love it. Okay, well, I'm going to look that up. So tell us, what food would you not want to live without?
Oh, let me think about this. There's so many foods. I love, and this is going to sound weird, but I love anything like sweet potato, any form of a sweet potato.
Oh.
And I know that sounds strange, but I love like sweet potato casserole, sweet potato fries, sweet potato chips. So
Oh, yeah.
I think I couldn't live without sweet potatoes.
Yeah, that's not weird at all. Yeah, that's not weird. I feel like when you eat sweet potato, it's like a dessert with your dinner right there.
Yes,
exactly. With whatever you're eating. So that's, oh, that's yummy. Yes, love sweet potato. So what's your favorite time of year?
Fall, definitely. Hands down.
So where you live, because where I live, fall is about 88 degrees. Mm-hmm. So do you get real fall where you live?
Well, no. We get about maybe a few days of it here and there. It's kind of funny. I live in Georgia, and the first day of fall is when it really like cooled off and it felt like fall. I know we'll have another warm, you know, warm snap, but right now it feels like fall outside and it's wonderful. So maybe, maybe I love it so much because I never have it. Maybe that's why, but.
No, it's the same here. When people ask my favorite, it is fall. I think some part of it too is like the stuff that comes out. I know this is very cliche, pumpkin spice. I know.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Are you pumpkin spice? Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. So you agree. Sometimes people are like, but I love when all the breads and the, you know, all the things come out that are pumpkin spice. So that's part of the reason why I love the fall. So what chore do you least like to do?
Oh, I would say probably dusting. And it's because I can't see and I'm always knocking over stuff when I try to dust.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I'm there with you. I wish there was just a way for just this one-stop something where we could be like, once you dust, it doesn't come back again.
Yes, I mean, that would be wonderful.
That would be awesome. So what makes you smile?
Oh, definitely the love of Jesus and my sweet husband. He makes some goofy, corny jokes, and that always makes me smile.
Oh, God, I love it. Yes, the husband jokes. So last one, God is
love.
Amen. Amen. That he is. So Sarah, I am eager to get this book out into the hands of those who are listening. So tell us a little bit about the book, what inspired the book, you writing the second book, where they can find it, and then all the other great things you have going on.
Yeah. So like I said before, I'm so overwhelmed by everything God has done in my life since my sight loss. There have been so many trials and triumphs. I mean, 8 months after I lost my sight, I was back in college. That was a whole journey. Meeting my husband, getting married, and just building a relationship with Christ all along the way. And I knew I needed to get that down on paper so people could read through it, because there's just never enough time for me to share everything that has happened through my sight loss journey. So I finally finished it and released it a couple of weeks ago. It's called Unseen Steps, God's Guidance Through Unexpected Blindness. And it just goes through my whole story from right before I lost my sight up to my wedding day. So it was a loving chore to write. There was so much I wanted to include, and I'm just so excited for people to read it and to see how God really has walked me through everything that I've faced. And you can buy it on Amazon, and it is available as paperback, an ebook, and it will be available on Audible very soon.
And I know Sarah likes to hang out on Instagram as well. Yes. So I'll have that and her website in my show notes. And so guys, please go out, support. You know how big I am on supporting women authors, Christian women authors, and just support, because the more you purchase the book, the more they'll have it available. Write a review after you read the book, that helps too. And so just support, and thank you for the work. Thank you for telling your story, Sarah, for sharing just your transparency and what God has brought you through and your wisdom. I know that so many listening today have been encouraged by you opening up and sharing. Just thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
I hope that message encouraged you today. Please go and follow her, purchase her book. You all know how I feel about women authors and supporting them. And while we're on the topic of supporting, I am getting ready to relaunch my Facebook group, We Are Stronger Together. Cue the confetti poppers, y'all. I am so excited, and I want you to be a part of this group. The original intent of this group was to bring women together from diverse backgrounds to support one another, because you know what? It is impossible for us to heal alone. We cannot grow alone. We cannot be all that God has created us to be alone. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And so I want you to become a part of this Facebook group. I want to get to know you more. And this is the best place. So if you're already following me on Instagram or on Facebook or both, come and join. Click on the link in the show notes and join us in We Are Stronger Together. So many wonderful things about to come up, and we're revealing those things only in the group. But you got to be a part of it if you want to know all the good things that are coming up for the rest of this year as well as into 2022. So join us. We Are Stronger Together Facebook group. Link in the show notes. Can't wait to see you there.